threatens to set back months of success. So far, Oregon's had one of the lowest rates of COVID-19 cases and deaths in the nation. State public health officials say the more contagious B.1.1.7 or UK variant is behind the surge. For NPR News, I'm Amelia Templeton.
On Wall Street, Dow futures are trading higher. You're listening to NPR News in Washington.
This is Wisconsin Public Radio News at 7:04. I'm Melissa Ingalls. Few details have been released after a gunman killed two people at a casino in Green Bay on Saturday. As Laurel White reports, more information is expected today in what police are calling a targeted shooting.
Police were called to the casino on Saturday evening around 7:30. According to the Brown County Sheriff's Department, the shooter was targeting an employee inside the casino and shot and killed two people and seriously injured another before being shot and killed by police. The shooter's intended victim was not present at the casino, according to the Sheriff's Department. The identity of the shooter and the victims has not yet been released. More information is expected to be released today. In a statement, Governor Tony Evers said his heart, thoughts, and support go out to the Oneida Nation and Green Bay and Ashwaubenon communities. It was the second mass shooting in Wisconsin in 2 weeks. In April, a gunman killed three people at a bar near Kenosha. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio.
New reports of COVID-19 cases are averaging around 650 cases per day in Wisconsin, based on the latest data published by the State Department of Health Services. DHS reported 405 new cases of the disease Sunday, bringing the average for the past 7 days to 649 daily cases. 1 week ago, the average was 603 daily cases. As COVID-19 cases in Wisconsin hold steady, more of the state's residents are being vaccinated against the disease. Over 4.4 million doses of the coronavirus vaccine have been administered in the state as of Sunday, with 75.4% of Wisconsinites aged 65 and up fully vaccinated. This is WPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include T-Mobile for Business, dedicated to using unconventional thinking to help businesses realize new possibilities, reimagining support to provide solutions in the moment. T-Mobile.com/unconventional.
We're talking about how the next two-year state budget is coming together on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, let's get a check on the final day of our spring membership campaign at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Kate.
We're here to stress that it's listener donations that are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And if you've been meaning to give, now is the time because the drive ends at 6 o'clock. So go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We are calling all procrastinators. Now is your time. And to kind of put the icing on the cake, right now we have a dollar-for-dollar match. Ooh. Up to $4,500. And this generous match is made from current members, including a member in Eau Claire. And it means that they're going to match every dollar that you give.
It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you are powerful. You are powerful because people who listen, people like you, provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. And your donation is really an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value right back to you.
Your contribution keeps the independent public service radio on the air for you and for our entire community. So give now on this final day at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now think about this. Is WPR a preset in your home or in your car? How many presets does it occupy? I have to say for myself, it's 3 or 4, actually. If that's you too, you listen to WPR a lot. And so help pay for the station you enjoy so much. Become a member today.
Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today, donate any amount and you could win a $1,000 gift card to Wheel and Sprocket. Buy a new bike, add a trailer for your kids or cargo, or get your hands on some of the latest cycling gear. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Bike Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
And it is bike weather. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Hi, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Your support during this spring member drive, my goodness, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at on this final day, that is the right amount.
It certainly is. And if you're thinking it might be kind of, oh, it's pain to go and go online and make this donation, it's really not. We've done everything to make it so easy. It just takes a couple of minutes of your time. And with your gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
And that donation will come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And that gift will get matched. So this dollar for dollar match is still in effect right now. There's still room for you to get in on it. Give now. WPR.org is a place to do it, or you can call 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you could win $1,000 to spend on bikes and cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
Right, Kate, not only in this drawing, but in all of our future drawings. So if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up monthly donations from either your bank account or your credit card. You do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's such a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs you love.
Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Now, the finalized two-year state budget is due July 1. Governor Evers told reporters last week he hasn't met with Republican legislative leaders about his $91 billion spending plan.
I will absolutely meet with them if they have any openness to any of these ideas. They haven't. So I decided that it was more important for me to listen to the people of Wisconsin.
So rewind to March and April. The governor held 6 online listening sessions on topics like economic recovery, education, infrastructure. The legislature's budget writing committee, Joint Finance, held 3 in-person budget hearings and a virtual one last month. What do you think are the crucial elements when crafting a state budget? Do you feel like you have a voice, a say in it? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. J.R. Ross is editor of WisPolitics. J.R., welcome back to the Ideas Network.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. So we have all of these hearings behind us now. How has the pandemic affected this budget writing process?
It's made it unique. Now, one, the Joint Finance Committee years ago had more hearings than we saw 2 years ago and this time. So just in general, they've started to kind of pare back a little bit. Two, we've had our first virtual budget hearing. We've never seen that before. So that was different. But really, the way the pandemic is impacting the budget is this federal money coming in to Wisconsin, $3.2 billion. The governor has given some hints of how he wants to spend it. He told us last week he'll give us a better idea of where it's going to go. But Republican lawmakers want to kind of know down to the penny almost where that money's going to end up, because to them it's going to shape how they view increases in state spending, because they want to account for that money.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that just a moment. But I'm wondering about these public hearings. You know, the virtual one, I understand it more people want to go than there was capacity for. What do you make of these hearings? Who tends to speak at them?
A lot of groups that have an interest in the budget because they've got some pet project, some program that really benefits them. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, I've covered these hearings for a long time. They get to be repetitive because it's a lot of people coming out to talk about the same thing. And quite honestly, in the two decades I've been doing this, I can remember one time that there was a public hearing on a budget that really, truly caught lawmakers' attention. There's a program called IRIS. It's for people who have disabilities, helps them stay in their homes. I think it's back in 2015. Then Governor Scott Walker proposed some changes to that program. And the blowback was so intense and the testimony was so emotional that lawmakers went, okay, this is not good. We have to do something about this. But for the most part, you know, it's people asking for more money for schools or for local governments or for Medicaid. So, you know, it gets to be, I don't want to say that it's pointless at all. That's not my point. But the impact is muted because it gets to be, they hear the same thing over and over again. And quite frankly, you know, lawmakers have an idea of what they're going to do with this budget. It's just getting the final details down, and barring something dramatic, they weren't going to really sway from that path. And I don't think they heard anything dramatic in the testimony the last few weeks about this budget.
Okay, so what stage are we at? I mean, you know, building this budget is nearly a year-long process. Remind us where we are in this process.
So we're at the part where Republican lawmakers are going to deconstruct what the governor built. So if you go back last summer, Governor Evers sent budget instructions to his agencies. They started putting together budget requests that were due in early fall. In November, he put together his administration revenue estimates to tell you how much we're going to be able to spend or cut taxes in this two-year period. In February, he put out his budget with the details of what he wanted to do based off those agency requests. Now we're queued up for joint finance to meet on Thursday to take his first votes. And what's happening is the Joint Finance Committee, the co-chairs, asked the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which is the nonpartisan budget arm of legislature, to identify everything that they consider to be policy. Mm-hmm. So these are not things that definitely have a fiscal impact, but are things like, for example, Governor Evers wants a red flag law that would allow people who think there's somebody's a danger to himself or others to have their firearms taken away. He put that in the budget. Mm-hmm. That's a policy item. But there are also a ton of fiscal items, like expanding Medicaid, for example. They had it put together in one big list. There are about 280 items or so on that list. And on Thursday, they're going to come in and they're going to vote to take out all those items right away.
Because they're policy related and not fiscal related.
Well, some of them are fiscal because like the Medicaid expansion is, but there are things that Governor Evers wants. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of taking these things out right away. And then they're going to take a move, which is really kind of wonky, but I'll try to make it make sense. They're going to work off of base and not off of Governor Evers' budget. Now, it's really a matter of semantics, but it's a message they're sending of they think Governor Evers' budget is so bad that they're going to work off of current law. And really, again, this is really wonky, but you have a 12-4 Republican control of that committee. It takes 9 votes if you work off the budget, governor's budget, to take something out. Mm-hmm. If you work off a base, it takes 9 votes to put it in. With 12 members, you can pretty much do whatever you want. But this is a symbolic thing of saying it's so, we're so unhappy with what Governor Evers wants to do. We're going to just start off a base of current law and use that as our foundation for this budget.
We're talking with J.R. Ross of Wispolitics. He's covered state government and politics for decades, and he's giving us insights into how the next state budget will come together. Are you worried that Governor Evers is trying to do too much with his budget proposal, or is he not doing enough? What questions do you have about what's in the spending plan, what isn't, and what the future holds with lawmakers in this budget? Be part of this 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead on the State Capitol Report. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The legislature's Joint Finance Committee wrapped up public hearings on the proposed biennial budget last month. We have the editor of Wispolitics with analysis on the budget writing process. Now let's check in on the final day of our spring member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan, and it's your contribution that keeps the morning show and WPR strong. $10 a month, $100 a month, every gift in any amount makes a huge difference because the largest share of funding for WPR programs comes from people like you. So donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And what a great time to make a donation, because we have a dollar for dollar match in effect from current members, including a member in Eau Claire. Your gift of $50 will actually be $100 for Wisconsin Public Radio. $100 will be $200. You get the picture. Take advantage of this match right now. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, at the end of the hour, you'll often hear the guests say, thanks for your great listeners. And you are indeed thoughtful, active listeners. We thank you for contributing to the quality of the Ideas Network programs with your questions, your comments. You always advance the conversation. And thank you for your financial support. It makes it all possible. If you haven't contributed yet, do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're all kind of getting used to these ideas of monthly subscriptions. Mm-hmm. That's how we pay for our cell phones, our Netflix or Disney Plus. And now we're asking you to support WPR like you pay for these other services that you rely on.
The difference, though, here is that you decide how much to give. Support the programs that are a part of your day. Become a WPR sustainer. So choose a monthly gift amount that works for you, then set up ongoing installments at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, let the impact of your donation go beyond the WPR programs you love. Choose to plant a tree as your thank you gift when you give $10 a month. Your donation to WPR will power the essential news and quality entertainment you rely on, and your thank you gift will help preserve Wisconsin forests. Thank you for making a difference with your gift now. Here's how.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer Kent. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan, and it's your support today on this final day of our membership drive of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
We do. And your gift right now says, I value the morning show. I want it to stick around. I want more of it. It really makes me think. Some days it makes me laugh. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear the morning show. Those are really powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. Give now at WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552.
And here's the deal. Our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. We have just about $3,700 left to raise. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
If you need a little extra incentive in addition to the great programs and that challenge, we have more. You can choose Plant a Tree as your thank you gift with your contribution of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, indeed. Grow that gift. Your support so important at WPR.org. And thanks. Now, Wisconsin's next biennial budget is due July 1. The legislature's powerful budget writing committee, Joint Finance, held four public hearings that wrapped up last week. Democratic Representative Evan Boyke of Milwaukee sits on the 16-member committee. He talked about public input with WORTFM.
The public hearings, the roadshow, as we sometimes call it, are a critical part of the budget process. It's an opportunity for residents of Wisconsin and every corner of the state to weigh in on their budget priorities.
Have you attended budget hearings? What did you contribute and learn? What questions do you have about the budget process? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. And J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics, stays with us. So, J.R., the tax filing deadline, it was extended a month due to the pandemic. How much does that complicate the state's budget writing process?
Well, it's one of two big pieces that lawmakers need to finish the budget are new revenue estimates and the plan for this federal money that Governor just talked about. Normally, with an April 15th filing deadline, we get new revenue estimates from the Fiscal Bureau around like May 10th or 11th, somewhere in that neck of the woods. Well, now with the deadline pushed back to May 17th, maybe we're talking the first week of June. Maybe they could really squeeze something out by the end of May. You know, it'd be kind of tough. But why that's important is we kind of already had estimates from January that were pretty good. Mm. We just don't know like if things are going to go better or maybe a little worse. And that's more for the fine tuning of things to know how much the state can spend, how much it could cut taxes. And oh, by the way, on that latter part, you know, the federal government right now has said that if you accept the federal money from this COVID package, you cannot directly or indirectly cut taxes. Well, what's that mean exactly? We're waiting for guidance from the Treasury Department on exactly what that means. My bet is that Republican lawmakers will include a tax cut in the budget they send back to Governor Evers, no matter what the federal government says, and basically says, okay, some court try and stop us from cutting taxes. But those are two big things we don't know. So what I expect is that the Finance Committee will meet on Thursday for the first time, you know, take out that list of 280 items that Governor Evers wants, do a couple other housekeeping things with the budget, and then they'll start with small agencies, smaller things. They don't spend a lot of money, or they're just getting a standard budget adjustment, or a cost of living increase, essentially. And they'll save the big drivers of our spending, things like Medicaid, corrections, University of Wisconsin system, K-12 schools, until toward the end of the budget process, which they always do, to try and figure out, okay, what's left to do with those things? And oh, by the way, what can we then do for a tax cut?
Well, let's take a call on this. Carolyn is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Carolyn. What are your thoughts on the budget?
I think they should not. I'm really upset that they might expand the freeway, make the freeway larger in Milwaukee. And what we need is to have our roads, our streets fixed. I think that the only reason that they're doing that is because there's a concrete industry, that a road building industry, that wants to make more money here, and sometimes people from outside of the city, for various reasons, want to get through the city, and they're afraid of the people in Milwaukee. They don't want to get off the freeway. They just want to go buzzing through really quickly, and I think it's racist, and I think that we should not expand the freeways and take the money to use for the city. We have so many needs.
Other needs instead of expanding the freeway. JR, what about the piece of infrastructure there? Carolyn's saying, look, we have roads that need to be fixed first.
It's interesting. So highway funding has been an interesting discussion between Governor Evers and Republican lawmakers. Governor Evers came into office promising to, quote unquote, fix the damn roads. And so he's been putting forth a package of things to expand funding for roads. The interesting thing is, with COVID, what's that mean for future traffic projections, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, things went down for a great deal. We also lost revenue from the gas tax for a good period of time because they were down from people not driving as much. Now, we got additional federal aid, which kind of backfilled that. But that said, and this gets into something else, Governor Evers also wants to build a new office building in Milwaukee for state employees. He wants to build a new one in Madison. The question is, well, do you need that? What's happening with the new post-COVID economy? Do we need to expand 94 east-west in Milwaukee? Maybe, maybe not. maybe traffic goes down. But that's part of the debate we're going to hear for the next couple months.
Yeah, that debate between needs versus wants. WIS Politics editor J.R. Ross, our guide to the proposed 2021 to 2023 state budget, complicated by COVID as Republicans and Governor Evers diverge on priorities and spending. What do you think are the most important elements of the state budget? Is it roads? Is it education? Is it economic development? Environmental regulation? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead. News update is next on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the process of crafting a state budget for the next 2 years and how the governor and legislature will get this done. Now let's turn to the final day of our spring member campaign here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Jennifer Dargan. Hi, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Good morning. And it's listener support that is the largest piece of the funding here. So your gift now of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you set it at on this final day, makes WPR the reliable station that it is, with programs you enjoy every day. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, and there's $2,600 left. Mm. It's a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Eau Claire, are going to double every dollar that you give. It's really just their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio this morning. So double the impact of your gift right now. You can take care of it quick and easy at WPR.org or can give us a ring at 888-202-2552.
You know, we check in on a lot of things in our life, and on the State Capitol Report today, we're getting analysis on the budget coming together in Wisconsin. As we've learned, a biennial budget is nearly a year-long process, and we check in along the way because on the State Capitol Report, you know, this is what we need to do to understand how our government works. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from the morning show.
And WPR is listener supported, and that means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you hear on the Ideas Network every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, and then you make your gift.
And as the donor, you get to decide how much to give. You're in the driver's seat, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment, for example, things you enjoy and just make life better, just like listening to the morning show. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
Certainly my education, but hopefully it's going to be worth it and going towards a good cause.
Rent, for sure.
Every time I turn around, my automobile insurance is increasing.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jennifer Dargan. Listener support, it's the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during the spring member drive on the final day is so very important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
We hear from folks that they love WPR because it's their source for intelligent radio. And I have to say, there are costs associated with that kind of quality. And that's where you come in. Your support is so important.
Making a gift is super quick, super easy. You'll be finished in no time at all. And your contribution in any amount, say $10 or $20, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552. It makes WPR possible.
Kate, Abby in Prairie du Sac made a donation and said, growing up, my dad always had NPR on in the kitchen, and now it has become a regular part of my day. I enjoy the reliable, in-depth news coverage and human interest stories. And we heard from one more. Jill said, I'm calling to give today because my husband always learns something interesting on WPR. Well, what a great gift for him.
Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference right now on this final day at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support. Now, Republicans who control the legislature's Budget Writing Committee Joint Finance, they're expected to vote as soon as this week to remove many of Governor Evers' priorities in his $91 billion state budget proposal. Items like expanding Medicaid and legalizing recreational marijuana may be on the chopping block as lawmakers create their version of the next budget. So what do you want lawmakers to prioritize as they go about tweaking the spending plan? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. J.R. Ross is editor of WISP Politics, and he stays with us. JR, you mentioned these 280 items that seem to be the, you know, ones that will be stripped out of the budget. What can you tell us about Republicans and their priorities as they go about revising this budget? Where do they stand in their priorities?
Well, one thing that's interesting is a priority for them is how to reward, in their words, school districts that have been providing in-person instruction. One frustration for Republicans has been the amount of federal money flowing into Wisconsin schools is built largely off of this formula that takes into account poverty. So Milwaukee schools, for example, are going to get about, I think, $800 million, roughly. That's like more than a third of the overall money coming into Wisconsin. It's a massive district. It has huge poverty issues. Therefore, it's going to benefit greatly from this federal money. It's an opportunity, quite frankly, for Milwaukee to have a transformative budget going forward, right? But for Republicans, they're going, okay, our school districts, and I say use the word "our" and talking to me because they're talking mostly rural suburban districts, right? They've been in person more than these urban districts have. They're not benefiting as much from this federal money. How can we direct state money to those districts to make up for that? The challenge is, remember, Governor Evers has a partial veto pen that if every bit of language you add to the budget, you create an opportunity for him to rewrite that language to something that he wants. So they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we direct money to this group of schools without allowing Evers to redirect it to where he wants it to go? So that's a challenge for them. They're also trying to figure out, okay, with the amount of money coming in from the feds to cities and counties, Milwaukee, again, is going to see a lot of money come in from this federal package. How can they account for that and things like shared revenue, which is state aid to local governments to help pay for services? So that's their priority, includes things like, addressing that education money. They want to cut taxes somehow. They're trying to figure out how to do it. They want a more modest increase than what Evers has proposed. They're not going to raise the taxes he proposed on manufacturers, for example, things like that. So basically, their whole goal is a more modest budget. Now, the question becomes after that, whatever they do, is it something that Governor Evers is willing to sign? There's this whole debate in the Capitol about could Republicans go to a point that Evers vetoes the entire budget? That has not happened in my entire time in Madison. I don't know the last time it actually did happen. The challenge is for Evers, if he's got this wide ability to rewrite the budget the way he wants with his veto pen, but he can't do everything he wants. He can't like increase spending dramatically with that veto authority. If he vetoes it, there's an argument that I've heard from some Republicans that they wouldn't do a budget. They'd say, look, there's $3.2 billion in federal money coming in to the state. There are hundreds of millions of dollars going to schools from the federal government. That's enough. Governor Evers, you've got the power to spend that $3.2 billion. You figure it out. We're going to keep going as is. And the thought is that you get through the 2022 election. It's a good year for Republicans, and there's a Republican governor in the East Wing come January 6th or 7th, whatever it is, of 2023. You would have a lot of money that's accrued in state coffers because we're going to have revenue growth for the next 2 years, right? That they could say, okay, we're going to do a big tax rebate, or we're going to do what we want to do because now we have a governor who's of our party. So there's a danger for Evers if he vetoes this budget of what could be next. with way Republicans are thinking, approaching this.
Yeah, that strategy would be uncharted territory for sure. You know, Evers' budget includes legalizing marijuana for recreational use, which has seemed to have a lot of support from state residents, and seeing our neighbors have already done so. What is the likelihood that this will remain in the budget?
None. It's one of the items coming out on Thursday. Look, there isn't even support in the legislature, Republican caucuses, for legalizing medical marijuana. Now, if you were to put a clean bill on the floor of both houses to legalize medical marijuana, it would pass. The problem is, for those who advocate for that, is that Republican leadership largely does not put a bill on the floor unless you get enough votes to pass it from your own caucus. So in the Senate, it's, you need 17 votes to pass something. Unless there are 17 Republican votes, most of the time, not all of that, but most of the time, they're not going to put a bill on the floor. And there's just not enough support in that caucus for medical marijuana, let alone legalizing marijuana, period. Now, there's a lot of attention in the last couple of sessions because Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, said he was open to medical marijuana. And then Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said that he wasn't. So the thought was, oh, Fitzgerald is the issue that's holding up that proposal. Well, now Devin Lemahue, Republican from Oostburg, he's Majority Leader, and he's not in favor of medical marijuana. He said, unless the feds take action, he's not in favor of states doing this on their own. It's a reflection of it wasn't just Fitzgerald. There's enough opposition in that Senate Republican caucus, period, that it's not going to pass. So that's just not going anywhere right now with the composition we have in the legislature.
We're talking with J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics. He covers Wisconsin government and politics. Let's bring in Nate now in Milwaukee. Nate, what are your thoughts on the budget?
Hi. I know things I thought was interesting. One actually relates to federal action where the feds are, again, offering Wisconsin a bunch of money, this time related to Medicaid funding that would both help people and make the costs easier for the budget of Wisconsin. And Republicans, again, look likely to turn it away, kind of like how they spent money to turn away the train money years ago. Second, when they were having their budget hearings, they did not include places like Milwaukee or Madison, which happen to be the two biggest cities in the state. I have nothing against the rest of the state, and I think most of the places they visit should be the rest of the state because there's a lot of places, but that they avoided the two most populous areas is kind of interesting.
Nate, thank you for those two items. JR, starting with Medicaid, the governor wants to expand Medicaid through the Affordable Care Act. Is there any willingness from Republicans to do this?
No. Robin Voss is so dug in on that issue that it's just not going to happen. Now, I've heard the argument in the last year or so from some Republican lawmakers of at some point it might get too generous to turn down. Well, in this budget, not only is there like a roughly $600 million they could save by doing the switch, but the latest COVID package that President Biden signed added a sweetener. It's $1 billion more. Now, it's temporary money, but it's still $1 billion. And that would be in line, Wisconsin would be in line for that money if it expanded Medicaid. It's a sweetener for, like, there are a dozen states right now that have not done the expansion. That money was put there as a way to entice them to do it. Now, that has not swayed Robin Voss. There's an interesting sub-issue going on. Under Governor Scott Walker, we basically, the state said, we're not going to expand Medicaid. We're going to take and put people who would be eligible for Medicaid into the exchanges created under the Affordable Care Act. And then you get subsidized care in those programs. Well, the latest COVID package also includes an enhancement on the benefits you get if you're on the exchanges. It means it lowers the cost even more for people in exchanges. Basically, I think they pay no premium. And it makes a difference between being on the exchanges and on Medicaid, not as dramatic. Now, Medicaid's a more generous program, things like that. But it closes that gap as well. So Republicans have a talking point of, okay, we're not taking this money because to them it's expanding welfare. But also because of what the federal government's doing, it's an enhancement for those in this program we've already put them on. So there's not as much of an incentive for us to go do the expansion.
How significant is that, you know, none of the public hearings were held in Milwaukee or Madison, as Nate brought up?
Well, I brought that up to the co-chairs and they announced the hearings. There wasn't one in the Milwaukee area. There's almost all, as long as I can remember, There's been one in the Milwaukee area. They pointed out that Whitewater is in southeastern Wisconsin, so that was their response. The Madison thing, like Madison's, the, you know, seat of state government also is where a lot of interest groups are. So the Madison hearing, when they've had one, usually is a lot of interest groups who have their representative go up and testify, and Republicans aren't big fans of that. So they've been trying to go out state more for these hearings to kind of get away from that. And so the Milwaukee thing is definitely interesting. You know, why not go to Milwaukee? It's state's most populous area. Of course, COVID also plays a factor, right? When they announced these hearings, we still had some uncertainty about COVID and how the pandemic was going. There are some restrictions in Milwaukee about meeting size and that kind of stuff. So that was another reason why they thought maybe not go there this time. But it'll be interesting if Republicans change in future budgets and go back to the Milwaukee market for public hearings on the budget.
Governor Evers said in a news conference last week he hasn't met with Republican leaders about the budget. At this point, do you find that interesting at all, or should they have come together before this point?
It's just a reflection of the dysfunctional relationship between Tony Evers and Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu. Now, LeMahieu's kind of newer to the picture, and so it's not as much him, but there's been no real working relationship in the Capitol between Evers and Republican leaders for the whole time he's been in office. I mean, remember, in December of 2018, Republicans approved these lame duck session changes that reined in a lot of the governor's powers, and for Attorney General Josh Call as well, but even set foot in the door. That got things off to a bad direction. There was a little distrust there right away, and it got progressively worse. And then you had, almost a year ago, an Evers aide secretly taped a conversation with Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald. That is a major no-no in politics. So that became an issue. And they've just had basically not really much of a working relationship since then. Now, I look at Governor Evers' calendars for January through March. I found one call that was listed with Devin LeMahieu. And that was it, the three-month period. Now, in December, there were several meetings with GOP leaders, LeMahieu and Voss, talking about a COVID bill. But, you know, people point out to me, if you're Governor Evers and you want to get your budget passed, it would help you to lobby the legislature to embrace these things, to have a relationship with them, because they hold your budget's fate in their hands. But the relationship is so broken, Evers has basically said, look, it's no point talking to those guys. I'm going to go to the public and have the public put pressure on them to do what in his mind is right. The problem is, for Evers in that approach, is that we have maps in Wisconsin that are so favorable to Republicans, they don't feel pressure at home. At home, they're in safe Republican districts. They're not getting blowback individually about not legalizing marijuana or not expanding Medicaid. So they don't feel that pressure that Evers wants to put on them to do these things. And so we're kind of stuck in the standoff, and it doesn't bode well for the things he wants his budget getting done.
Well, JR, thank you for joining us and bringing us up to speed on this issue.
Anytime. You guys have a great day.
You too. J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics. Stay with us next hour. We talk about what threats birds in the Great Lakes region face and what can be done to protect them in a new report from the National Audubon Society. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on this final day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, host of The Morning Show, here with Jennifer Dargan. Your gift of any amount makes a big difference.
It truly does. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And that means your support funds this program, The Morning Show, as well as all the other WPR shows that you count on. So give now. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Jennifer, celebration is in order. We have just met that dollar-for-dollar match from current members, including a member in Eau Claire. Thank you so much for rising to the challenge. And let's keep this momentum going when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We catch up each week with the State Capitol Report. We're having a hearing about birds next. And then tomorrow we're hearing about the state of boys, which I am really interested personally to tune into. These are the kinds of conversations that you can count on day in, day out on the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and it means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics you join us for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And this member drive, let the impact of your contribution go beyond Wisconsin Public Radio. You can choose to plant a tree as your thank you gift with your donation of $10 a month or more. So you'll power the essential news and the entertainment that you rely on. And your thank you gift will help preserve forests in Wisconsin.
Love it.
So thank you for making a difference with your gift right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Sheree from Waupun. Well, I'm not very pleasant until I have my coffee, or at least get it in the cup. But in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I turn it on my computer. And I can honestly say when I do return to Florida, I will always listen to WPR. I will always be interested in Wisconsin politics. I will always care about the state of Wisconsin because of WPR.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jennifer Dargan. Your support during the spring member drive on the final day, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
It is, and many listeners become donors out of a sense of shared commitment because you think of WPR as a resource that should be available to all, and because you yourself have been getting value out of it, maybe over the past years, maybe over the past decade, it's time to put something back in.
So make a donation for yourself and also for the community at large. The amount is up to you. The important thing is that you participate. Make your first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can choose to plant a tree as your thank you gift with your donation of $10 a month or more. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and preserve our state forests.
And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account. Get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Take it away, Jennifer.
Thank you so much. Your gift right now is so important. You make it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We cannot say thank you enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you.